Well, let's turn over to Romans. That's been our text, and we're going to look at a few things on the scripture sheet. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. Is everybody there? It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." You could also say daughters of God, but just look at that right there. These are sons of God. Just like what we were saying earlier. I mean, do you realize what that's saying? We are sons and daughters of God. That can become so common to us. Yeah, go on to the next phrase. We're sons and daughters of God, the Almighty, the greatest being in the earth. He calls us and claims us as His own. I don't believe that the reality of that's dawned on any of our hearts fully. We may have gotten some light on it, but the more revelation we get on just that right there. Because if we're sons and daughters of God, how many of you, your son or daughter, comes and asks you for advice on something and you just blow them off? Are you not going to give them the best counsel that you have to give? Yes, you are. Now, you may not know everything. I'm talking about in the natural. But you're going to give them what you have, right? Who do we serve? We serve God Almighty. We're sons and daughters of Him. And this is what we ought to teach our natural sons and daughters. If they don't know what to do in a situation, research is okay. Looking into it, looking, you know, Googling something, that's okay. But what we ought to be looking to is the Lord. And through all that research and through, you know, doing things on the internet, learning, we ought to be looking on the inside and seeing what is it God's saying? What bears witness with my insides? Because that's how we're going to get where we need to get. It's learning is fine, but we need to look at the one that knows everything and knows our life, knows the end better than the beginning. He is going to be able to intimately direct and guide us just like any good father would. He's not going to hold back from any of us. You believe that? He's not going to do it. So when you hear, well, where's God? That's a lie. Where is that voice coming from? Ask yourself that question. Whenever you hear something like that, I always ask, who said that? Who said that? Because that's not God's character. That's not the Lord. The Lord is going to pour out abundantly. He said He would do it. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. He bears witness with our spirit. Thank you, Lord. So we've talked about this for many weeks, and we talked last week. We started to go down this way, but I just felt that, and I thought we may go that direction. But to just spend some time on the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't really practice what we're talking about today, which is praying in other tongues. And it's vital. We can't overemphasize how vital this is. Now, I understand that there are denominations and part of Christianity that don't emphasize this and possibly preach against it. I'm fully aware of that. But that just means somebody I've studied the scriptures and looked at it, I believe the word clearly teaches that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence that we're filled with the Holy Spirit ought to be that we speak with other tongues. And the Bible lists benefits for speaking in other tongues. And you cannot live the type of life that God has for us to live This is a component of it. We're not going to fully walk in it unless we tap into it. God gave us this gift for a reason. It's not something that is just something shiny that we put up on the, you know, over the fireplace and say, yeah, I speak with other tongues. See, it's right there, but we don't actually ever use it. We don't, you know, I was filled with the Holy Spirit once 20 years ago. See, it's right up there on the, you know, right over the fireplace there. See? So what? It's as good as not being filled if we don't use it. But if we'll use it, there are so many benefits to being filled, and part of it, living the supernatural life, determining what God would have us to do when we are bombarded with natural things everywhere. People are telling you naturally how you ought to do things everywhere. They're not taking into consideration the spiritual. This helps us to tap in to our spirits, to tap into the inside, to tap into what is unseen, because it doesn't make sense to our natural mind. It doesn't make sense to our understanding. And we're going to read some things to that effect. But it is supernatural. And we when our understanding doesn't know exactly the path to take, with our natural mind, we're limited in knowledge, then we can tap into this. Praying in other tongues is letting God pray through us, and God is not limited. If we could see as God sees, then you would know things, you would know what to pray, but we don't. We're limited. That's not a bad confession, it's the truth. We're all growing in light, in understanding, in knowledge, but God knows right now. So when we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God, we're talking about what's the next step. You may be leading a business. You may be leading a ministry. You may be leading your household. What's the next step? Sometimes we bump up against something and we can feel like there's something there. There's something in our heart, but we don't know what it is. It's not in our head. It hasn't gone up to our head. How do you bridge that gap? One of the main ways you do it is by praying it out in other tongues. You're praying out what God would have you pray, and in that situation, and you can get understanding. I've had this many times where it's like you have an impression on the inside. You have an impression, but it's not clear. It's like it's fuzzy. You ever see when like somebody sends you an email, or maybe you've seen an image? You engineers would know what I'm talking about, but it's pixelized because it's not clear. Like it's coming across on your phone, and it's just a real digitized version of it, you know, just very blurry. It looks very blurry, but then as your phone catches up or it downloads, chunks of it become clear, and then pretty soon you can see it the way it's supposed to be. Has anybody ever experienced that? If you're in a slow connection or something, that's a lot the way it is. It's like you see something, and God's leading you and guiding you some way, but it's like it's you can kind of make it up, but it's blurry. You don't know what's really there. But if we'll pray and yield to the Holy Spirit, things can come and start to be in places, and you start to see clearly. You start to see what you should do, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, that's what I should do. I see it, and it comes up to your head, and your head starts to know what to do. You've been praying things in other tongues, and you come across something in your research, and the Spirit of God prompts you on the inside and says, that's what you should do. It's not all just wait there and fast and let God dump everything into you. He will do that to a degree. But as you go through the motions of planning things out and deciding what to do, God will quicken us on what that part. You take that part. You get that piece of equipment. You go to that location. But a lot of it, you're tuning yourself. You're praying things out so that when something comes across, you're quick. You've prayed that out in the Spirit. Here it comes. Boom. You know. You know what to do. You see what to do. So let's get into some more scripture. Let's look on your sheet for the sake of time, because there's some things on here that we went over. I wanted to include them on here just so you had the references. We went over a lot of references last week. I didn't include all of them, but I did include some of them. Let's read through them. This one we didn't go through, but I wanted to read this. Mark 16, verse 14. It says, later he appeared, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned, and these signs will follow those who believe. Now who? Those who believe. Not certain individuals, not just pastors or apostles or some special select few, but it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. And then he gives a list. And notice he says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. I like to read this list like this because it's like, in my name, they're going to do this, 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 this. So look at that. This will help you even in other areas. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out with devils. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. In my name, they'll take up serpents. That's not talking about literal snakes. We're not getting into that today. It's spiritual. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. In my name, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But notice the second part. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Who will speak with new tongues? Those who believe will speak with new tongues. Now go down to Acts 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, on your sheet there, Acts 2, verse 1 through 4, I don't know if I mentioned it just for the recording. The last scripture was Mark 16, 14 through 18. Acts 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them other utterance. So the Spirit is giving utterance. We read that last week. The Holy Spirit doesn't take control of you and make you speak. The Holy Spirit comes upon an individual and something like, not English, if that's their native tongue, not like their native tongue, comes up in them and they yield to it and they speak those syllables out. It's not God taking control of us and making us happen. It's just us. The syllables come up and we just speak them out. We yield to them, but it's as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's not in our heads. It's not something we generated with our heads. It's something that we're yielding to the Spirit. Acts 10:44 through 48 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, or all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So notice the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts 19:6. It says, and when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Notice, the Holy Spirit's coming upon them, they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. In 1 Corinthians 14, we're going to go there. Why don't we turn over to 1 Corinthians 14? We're going to be there for a little bit. You can hold your finger if you're still in Romans, if you haven't already turned. We're going to come back to Romans 8. First Corinthians 14. Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 18. We're going to come back and fill in some blanks here. But first, verse 18, Paul says, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul was a tongue talker. There is no Paul that didn't speak with other tongues. I've relayed this before, but it bears repeating. When I was at Rhema, we would have these meetings. You know, you had different class schedules, and on Tuesday and Thursday, they had one that was some kind. There was announcements, and then on the Thursday or the Tuesday or Thursday, I can't remember which. They had this exaltation where you'd go in and do praise and prayer in between the classes. But this one was a separate one. The other Tuesday or Thursday, they would have different types of announcements. They would bring in different people, and it was short. But this one time we all came in, and the stage was all kind of dimmed. And this wasn't in the main auditorium. This was in the old church building. There's a big platform, and then all the students come in. And it was all dimmed, and there was some stage lighting and some props and some things. And there's a guy up there, and he's dressed like it would have been in Jesus' time. And so everybody comes in, and then everybody's quiet, and this guy starts speaking, and he's just walking around praying in other tongues. It was the Apostle Paul. It was a guy that was acting like the Apostle Paul, and he's just walking around. He's just walking, and just walking, just doing this, and then he stops. And he says, take this letter, and he starts speaking the book of Ephesians, dictating it. And this man that was actually, you know, doing this, he can quote the whole book of Ephesians, front to back. I mean, and he's doing it like they're taking dictation, you know, like he's dictating it to, which is probably the way it happened, they're writing it down. But he's going, it's awesome, and it's very powerful. But the thing that struck me was, you know, just to see the Apostle Paul there, he's walking around and he's just praying in other tongues. This is what he does this. I mean, if you read the Bible we just read, he says, I pray in tongues more than you all. Paul was a tongue talker. All the apostles that you see, this is a way of life. And there is no, there were no apostles that they just hadn't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They just didn't believe in that. That did not exist there. This was part of it. This is standard equipment. This is what you do. This is how you part of it, how you know where God's leading you. It's the supernatural. Flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. So somebody said, speaking in other tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. Why is that? You're yielding to your spirit. To yield to your spirit in greater things, the first step is yielding to your spirit in speaking in other tongues. It's a gateway to the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Sometimes you'll see if the Spirit of God's moving and we'll stop and pray in other tongues, it's not just always prayer and interpretation. That's one part of it. That's praying in other tongues and speaking in other tongues, a word in tongues and then interpretation. It's not always like that. Sometimes you're praying in tongues to know where to go next. Let's stop. Let's pray in other tongues. You've seen us do that. Let's pray together. Why? Because there's something the Holy Spirit wants to do next, and it's not clear. But I know He wants to do something. When you see us stop, that's why. I'm not sure, but there's something. We're not supposed to go on yet, but I'm not clear on it. Let's pray. And then sometimes we'll stop and say, okay, now, and we'll go a certain way. Or there could be a word of wisdom or something to some certain individuals. The Holy Spirit is praying through us. And this is the way we ought to behave and the way we ought to operate. This is part of our equipment as Christians. This is supernatural. It's not just for a select few. So let's go back to verse 2 then. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Most of this chapter is about, it has a lot to say about praying in other tongues, and it's not just. Now, one thing as you read this, there are things that apply to tongues, but it's not all talking about the private gift of tongues. So we all can speak with other tongues. He also talks about the ministry gift of tongues. So if you know, you look back, can you look with me back in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 12? Verse 1. Are we there? So just the opposite page in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." The word gifts isn't actually there. The real thing in the Greek, it's just spirituals. But we interpret it as spiritual gifts, and that's fine. But what it's talking, it's really spirituals, impartations. But it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that these Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. However, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts," or the margin of my Bible says, "allotments or various kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom." Now he starts listing the different types of gifts. There's 9 of them. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles." See, these are not something you can drum up. You cannot pull the trigger and say, "I'm going to operate in the gift of miracles now." You can't do it. You can't say, "I have a word for you and I'm going to do it now." You may have a word, but it has to be initiated by the Holy Spirit. It's as the Spirit wills. You can't flip these things on and off. You can't say, "Well, I'm just going to prophesy for you, to you now." You can't do it. You can yield to something, and a lot of times you get into that area, you can start yielding to familiar spirits if you try to control it. You try to say, "I'm going to do this now," because it's got to be the Spirit of God prompting you. People can get into trouble this way because the devil knows some things, and if you feel under pressure to minister and pressure, and there can be a pressure to perform, pressure to do something now, you can yield yourself to something that isn't God. And something that isn't him, because it's as he wills. So these things are not something, and it's not something to say, "Well, I'd flow in this." That's not true. That's not godly. God chooses how he flows through people in these things, and it's up to us to yield to them. Okay, so we said, verse 10, "To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." In other words, you can't say, "Well, I'm going to have this gift." You can't do that. God chooses. God imparts. We don't have a choice. We can yield to him as he chooses to yield, as he chooses to use us. But look back in verse 10. It says, "To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." So these last few, prophecy is inspired utterance. So I could be, in the end, preaching is a form of prophecy in its purest form. But prophecy is, at its base form, is inspired utterance. I don't want to go into this. That's not the same as the ministry of a prophet. A ministry of a prophet, it's usually prophecy, but it's also word of wisdom, word of knowledge, some discerning of spirits, things to come, things unseen, things of what's going to come down that in the future. That's not the same as the simple gift of prophecy. You can be, when you see, like, It'll say that the sons of so-and-so were prophesying. That means they were saying things by the Spirit of God. If you'll notice and pay attention, certain times, even in the announcements or different times, you can be speaking, and maybe you've experienced this yourself, but you can be saying certain things. If you hear me saying, it could be saying that I'm just speaking. But then there will come a certain word, or I'll say something, and it's by the Spirit of God, and it has punch to it. Have you ever noticed that? There's something that it's inspired. It's something that God inspired there. And there's times where, even in preaching, you're preaching, but all of a sudden you say some things, and it is the Spirit of God specifically emphasizing that. That's prophecy. Speaking the gift of speaking in tongues here, so it says to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Those two work together and are equivalent to prophecy. And we could see that if we went into 1 Corinthians 14 more. But so prophecy is inspired utterance. But then there's a gift of tongues, different kinds of tongues. But without the interpretation of those tongues, it's not complete. Now, we're talking about a ministry gift here. This is where people get confused. The reason I'm saying this is because we're going to read things in chapter 14. Chapter 14 speaks some things that talk about speaking in other tongues, and it applies to both of them to a degree. The public gift, the ministry gift, and the just praying out in your own private gift. But if you don't differentiate between the two, you can get confused. And I'll say some of those things here. But the gift, the ministry gift, and you've seen this happen in this congregation, where Shelley will have a word in tongues, and I'll do the interpretation, or I believe we've done it the other way too, where I'll have something in tongues, and she speaks out the interpretation. That's different than if we were praying in tongues to get the direction of the service. Do you see that? But somebody will say, well, you're just praying in other tongues, you need an interpretation. It's talking about the ministry gift of tongues has to have an interpretation, or otherwise the person that would say the message in tongues should keep quiet. Some people have used this to say, well, you shouldn't pray in tongues in the church, in a public. But the Bible also says to sing with your understanding, to sing with the Spirit. There's all kinds. Praying in tongues is a natural part of the Christian life and part of us being together here. If this is a vital part of our life and we come together, there will be at different times praying in tongues, but that's not the same as the ministry gift of tongues. Does that make sense? So as we read chapter 14, he's actually talking about in several places about the gift, the ministry gift of tongues. For instance, we just read chapter 14, verse 18. Go there. So he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also that than 10,000 words in a tongue. What's he talking about? He's talking about tongues and interpretations. But he says, I speak with tongues more than you all. And he's talking about the private gift there. You could go back to verse 13. I don't really want to get into the details here, but we're going to kind of skim through this. But verse 30 says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. Because he's talking about if you're in church, if you just stand up and start praying in our tongues, I'm talking about everybody else is quiet, and you pray in our tongues and you stop. Okay. But if there's not the interpretation, it doesn't have the full impact as it should if it had the interpretation. But if we're praying in tongues together, good night. We speak in tongues the whole time in the prayer meeting on Wednesdays, you know, depending, not necessarily, but a lot of that is praying in other tongues. And that's in a public assembly. That's a certain type of service. Now, let's move forward. We'll cover a little bit of that, make some of this more clear. So, let's just read some of this. Then start in verse 1. It'll more be clear to you then. chapter verse 14, verse 1, it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Now, we just talked about that in chapter 12. He's saying, and if you look in your Bible, gifts is probably italicized. He's talking about the same thing. He's saying desire spirituals, but especially that you may prophesy. And he's talking about the gift of prophecy there. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, that's a true statement of tongues, whether it's private or public. And that's the one I wanted to focus on next. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, to God, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, go to verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies in the church. Verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. But he's talking about the public gift here. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, listen, unless he interprets that the church may receive edification. So what's he saying? If you just have preaching, if you just have speaking in other tongues, but you don't have the interpretation, it's not the same as prophecy. Prophesying would be better. But if you have them both, then they're essentially equivalent. So you can see prophecy on the one hand, tongues plus interpretation on the other hand. That's in public. Okay, let's go on with what we were saying then. Verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, when we're praying in other tongues, we are speaking mysteries. They're not mysteries to God. They're mysteries to us. So we speak things out that we don't know. God knows, and that's like we were talking about the fuzzy pictures. You don't know, you don't see, and it may be a mystery to you, but God knows, and it's not a mystery to Him, and He wants to lead us and guide us. So it's like we're standing here. Things are a little bit fuzzy where we're at, and we're like, God, what do I do? And for our understanding, try to imagine with me. Imagine I'm standing here and I'm going forward in life. Imagine this is me walking on the path of life, and around me is kind of this fog. And I want to go forward and I'm seeking God and I want to know what to do, but I just don't see clearly. It's like I'm in the midst of a fog. I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe I'm supposed to go there, but I can't see clearly. Well, if you look at it from God's perspective, there's no fog. He sees everything perfectly. He sees exactly the next step. And what I need to do is get hooked up to Him. I need to get hooked up so I know, so that next step can become clear. When I speak in tongues, when I pray in tongues, I'm praying out mysteries. Not to God, to me. But I pray them out. It can get clear to where now I see what I need to do in this life. The next step. Is God withholding from me? No. It's the state of me as a human that I don't know everything, that I don't know the next step, and I need help to understand. So God, it's like, here I am, here's the answer right on the other side. Here's God wants more than anything for me to know and to see like He knows and sees in this situation so I can make the decision. He wants to help me. One of the ways He helps us is by us yielding to Him so we can pray it out in tongues so that it can come to our understanding and we can take that next step. This is so important. And if we'll yield ourselves to it, we'll see things become clear. We'll see things change. We'll see things crystallize as we yield to Him. And we'll be led by Him. Go to verse 14. Verse 14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. If I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit's praying. But my understanding, my mind, not necessarily know what's going on. It's not being edified at that point. It could be saying, well, I don't understand. That's because it's our spirit. Our spirit's praying. Look at your sheet there. In the Amplified, it says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit, and helps nobody. Now, if you prayed with other tongues, you might experience that at some times where you're praying and you're like, I don't know what I'm praying for. Your mind could tell you, if you entertain the wrong thoughts, can tell you you're wasting your time. You're not doing anything. This is nonsense. Don't yield to that. We're reading right here, the Bible is saying, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying. But my mind is unproductive. Now, look at the next verse in your Bible, verse 15. It says, what is the conclusion? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. You can do both. So we may be in praise and worship, and we're praying, or we're praising God and singing. The reason we have songs is so we can get all on the same page and sing to God together. But then you'll notice there's time where we may be singing out to God in different things. And then there's times where Shelley will lead us to pray out and sing in tongues. Well, here is one of the verses that you're looking at. You can sing in the Spirit. You're worshiping God in a tongue you don't know, but your spirit is edified. Your spirit knows you're worshiping God. Your spirit is crying out to God, but your mind doesn't know what you're saying. But we can do both. And then in prayer, I mentioned this on Wednesday when we were praying on Wednesday night. In prayer, you can pray with your spirit. You can pray in other tongues, but you can flip over and start praying in English. In other words, and this is what will happen sometimes, you'll see on Sunday mornings, if we're not sure where we're going to go, we can pray out in English or pray out in the Spirit and then switch over and start praying in English when things come. So you pray in other tongues, and things or phrases come, you can pray those out. And you can do this in your personal life when you're praying about a certain situation. You can be praying in other tongues. And then, like, you're praying about your family. Or you're praying about a situation, a building or a piece of property or something. You could be praying, and then there'll be a phrase or something come up. The Holy Spirit's helping you how to pray in English about it. Something will come up and you can say, and you speak it out in English or take authority over something in English. That's praying with your understanding as well as praying with your spirit. So you can be praying about a situation. It doesn't have to be all tongues. You can be praying about tongues and something comes up and now you pray out in English. You take authority about something. You pray as you know to do because you know what to do. You know how to pray because the Holy Spirit's helped you. And then you reach the limit of what you could pray in English, and you go back to praying in tongues. And then you get something, God quickens something about a family member or something, pray that out about them. You stop, you go and pray in English about it. It's powerful. So it can be combined. That's what he's saying. You pray with the Spirit, pray with understanding. That's why we can go and we can be singing with our understanding, but we can switch over to be praying in the Spirit. Now we know maybe where to go with the service and pray. Understanding or singing the understanding as well. Thank you, Lord. You still have Romans. Let's go back over to Romans 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Romans 8:26. Everybody there? It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray as we ought. Have you ever been there? You don't know how to pray as you ought to pray. You feel like, I know I need to pray. I'm not sure what to do. He said, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for us, for the saints, according to the will of God. Now he says several things here. Let's go back to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Look at your scripture sheet and look at verse 26. Before you do that, just look back. You're on your scripture sheet now. Look at verse 27. So then he says, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So God knows what He wants to do. He knows where the Spirit wants to go. It says, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you're praying, you're yielding to Him, praying according to the will of God. Now, verse 26, look at it in the Contemporary English Version. It says, in certain ways we are weak, but the Spirit is here to help us. For example, when we don't know what to pray for, the Spirit prays for us in ways that cannot be put into words. Now, the other one says utter. To mean utter, it can mean just to make a noise, but it also can mean to put into words. So there is a realm of the Spirit, and I've experienced this a little, but other people that have been further than me have experienced it to various degrees, where you are you're prompted to pray, but it's just like groanings. You're not even using words. It's just like all you can do is groan or make noises, but it's Spirit-inspired utterance, or not utterance in that case, it's Spirit-inspired. But that would include, or this would include that, where in the New King James, we just read, with groanings which cannot be uttered. But then you say it could not be put into words in the Contemporary English Version. So one of the definitions of utter is to just say, like, utter a sigh. But then there also is utter in articulate speech, that you can't put it into words. That doesn't mean there aren't words. Has anybody ever experienced something that just in the natural, people say this all the time, I can't explain it. I can't put it into words. Does that mean there isn't a way to put it into words? It doesn't mean there's no way to put it into words. It means you can't put it into words. Could God put it into words? Could somebody, if they knew exactly, articulate it? They could put it into words, but sometimes you just can't put it into words. And you can't do it with the knowledge that you know to explain it. But when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, He can be praying through you and articulating it in a language you don't know and be praying through you. And I believe, you know, I've looked at different things on this, that includes speaking in other tongues, because it does talk about articulate speech, that you can't utter it in articulate speech. If you look up the word utter, it means to speak. If you look up the word, you know, articulate, it's words that are in your own language that you can put together. Speaking in tongues and praying with the Spirit's utterance is not always... You're just not praying in the language you know. You're praying in another tongue. God knows. Now notice the next verse, 27. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So God knows what needs to be done. He knows what needs to be prayed out. And it says, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit knows what needs to be said and what needs to be prayed out, and if we'll yield to Him, even when we don't know. You've heard me say this before, but there's a gentleman that taught us at Rhema. Came in during the week. They just brought different pastors in for this one course. It was 8 weeks of bringing different pastors in, and they would stay a week. And they would preach to us. So Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday was just them pouring out their heart, whatever they felt led to do. Pouring out their heart to us, just imparting wisdom to us. And that was our class, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so 1 week, we had a gentleman from Kansas who pastors a fairly large congregation. He says when they were starting out, he was talking about the different things they went through. And he talked about how they would just pray in tongues through different things. Pray in tongues through different phases to be led. And he said this phrase, if you don't take anything else from this morning, remember this phrase. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. When you don't know what to do, you know what to do. You start praying in other tongues. Didn't it just say, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but God does. If our understanding is like, God, I don't know what to do in this situation, I don't know how to pray, because there are things that are coming down the pike, you don't know what they are, so how could you pray for them? You don't know what's going to be you're going to be dealing with in your family 2 years from now, but God does. Could He pray through you to get that done ahead of time? You might be up against making a decision, and you're looking at what you know to do to make that decision, but you're not taking into consideration. You might take into consideration some of the things that are coming down the road in a year or two that you could see possibly happening, but you don't see everything, and you can miss a whole lot of things. But God knows exactly what's going to happen in 2 years. So when you're asking Him, you say, I don't know what to do here, but you know what to do. I'm going to pray and yield to You so that I'm praying the perfect will of God, and I can then come to be led to do the thing so I know what to do, so I have a witness inside and say, that's what I'm supposed to do. Part of that is by praying it out in other tongues and to be led by Him. It's a vital part. It is a weapon for us to be able to be led and to be in the center of His will. And it is such, it's just, man, when you experience it, you could be, when you experience Him leading and guiding you and those things coming through praying in other tongues, you can, has anybody ever experienced this? You haven't been praying in tongues like this, you know, for a while, and then you get in there and you're like, why wasn't I doing this more? What have I been doing? Why? This is where the answer is. There's a piece and you're like, oh, this is becoming so clear. Why have I let myself be distracted? Has anybody ever felt like that? Yeah, because the enemy doesn't want you to take time to pray. He wants to keep us just running around to where we're just going from thing to thing and just all in the head and just like this. And when sometimes we'll just take the time to get quiet and yield to Him and start praying, things become so clear. And it can happen like this. You know, I'll give you an example. The building I mentioned earlier, the first building that we rented here as a church over on Andover Street, it was in the summer prior to that fall. And I know, and there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we had moved the year before, just so much going on. And I remember specifically, like, I kept telling you, we got to pray about this. We got to pray, see what we should do. I mean, I don't want to just get a building. I don't know if we should start a Bible study or what we should do. And we need to pray, but it was like, we need to pray. Everybody would say, we need to pray, but then another day goes over, we need to pray about it. And another day goes over, and you're like, I know we need to pray, but you're not praying. Yeah, we can all be in that situation. And then finally, I remember, I don't know what night it was. It might have been a Wednesday. Because I know that first year, we just had church in our home different times, and we got together. I think it was a Wednesday night. I don't know if it was that or it was another night. I can't remember that, but I do know I said, Shelly, we're praying now. We're praying tonight. Let's get, and I remember kneeling down in that bedroom over on Andover Street, not in the, we lived on Andover Street as well, the house we rented, and praying in other tongues and praying about this, specifically about this. And it wasn't, I don't know how long it was, I don't know how long we ended up praying, but it wasn't that long where it just became clear about this. No, that is the building you're supposed to go into. Yes, that is. It's fine. You go forward with it. That's it. It became so clear in such a short period of time, and that's where we were for those several years. I guess it was 3 years we were there, and it was exactly what we needed for that period of time, and then we moved on. But I'm saying it doesn't have to be. You don't have to pray necessarily 6, 7, 8 hours. Some people are like, oh, I just don't have the time. No, take the time. It's like something, the more you do it, the more you get into it, the more you want to. Just put aside some time to start, and I'm preaching to all of us today, just to put that and make that a priority. When we don't know what to do, if we have a big decision to make, pray in other tongues about it. Let God lead you. Make it a priority. Don't be like, well, it's so easy to say, well, God, just lead me, but I'm doing all these things, but lead me, God, you just lead me. And we're not stopping and saying, God, I want to hear from you. Lord, I'm going to yield to you. Lord, I'm going to shut my mind off. I'm just going to shut quiet my flesh and just yield to you. Shut my mind off. Mind you, shut up. I want to hear from the Lord. This is one of the ways we get those things clear. Hallelujah. Amen.